The Lord wants us to be bold. Amen. It reminds me of the story of Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson. In the words of Nikki Cruz, was a skinny white hillbilly who came to New York to reach the gang members. And it was, I think it was in the 60s, and there were literally 50,000 gang members when you put all the gangs together, and the gangs would fight against each other, you know, turf war and whatever. But when the police came against the gangs united, 50,000 gang members to fight the police. And there was a gang called the Mau Maus. The Mau Maus. And the Mau Maus was the fiercest, most ruthless gang in New York. And Nikki Cruz became the leader of the Mau Mau gang. The most vicious killers, drug dealers. I mean, they went to everything. And David Wilkerson, who started Teen Challenge. You've heard of Teen Challenge? That's the man who started Teen Challenge. So Wilkerson was preaching around New York, and Nikki Cruz started hearing about it, and the Mama started hearing about it, and Nikki Cruz obviously wasn't in favor of this white, skinny hillbilly coming to try and lead the gang members to the Lord. So Wilkerson asked one of the gang leaders in Nikki's gang, you know, could you get me an appointment to meet Nikki Cruz, who's the fiercest killer like in New York? And he got him the meeting, and they took him, you know, where the gang hangs out. And Wilkerson comes before Nikki Cruz. Have you heard the story, what happened? And Nikki Cruz punches him, starts kicking him, like beating him to death. And the gang said, Nikki, this is a pastor. What are you doing? They had to pull Nikki Cruz off David Wilkerson because he was beating him to death. And they pulled him off, and they were escorting Nikki Cruz, I mean, David Wilkerson, out of the gang hideout. And before he got escorted out, Wilkerson said to Nikki Cruz, Nikki, there's just one thing I want to tell you. You can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, but every piece will cry out, Nikki, Jesus loves you. Then only the Lord could do this. So Wilkerson, you know, the guy had tenacity. You got to give him that, right? He wanted to organize like a peace rally. So he invited all the gangs together, the main gangs. But you were limited to 10 or 15 gang members per gang, or they couldn't fit them all in this like big church. So 10 or 15 of each gang, and the gang said, okay, on the night, we're going to have a truce. No one's allowed to kill anyone, stab anyone, no fighting. We're all going to go to this peace rally that Wilkerson had organized. And what was funny, this is Nikki Cruz, because when Nikki Cruz came to South Africa, I was like his escort for, you know, 10 times. So I heard this testimony like 10 times. And he said Wilkerson was going to take up the offering, but he put the Mau Mau gang in charge of taking up the offering. So he gave us the baskets. So when he took up the offering, and we had to go around from row to row, he said, listen, the pastor thinks we're going to steal the money, but we're not going to steal the money tonight. We're going to make sure he has his biggest ever offering. So he said when the offering basket was going around and the gang guys were looking like, what are you putting in? No, put more, put more, put more. Put more. And he says, we gave the pastor the biggest offering he could ever imagine. And we gave it to him. So, because he said he thinks we're just killers and drug dealers and thieves, and it's all true. But we're not going to steal tonight, okay? Then Nikki Cruz, Wilkerson preaches the gospel. and does an altar call. And many of Nikki Cruz's leaders started going forward in the altar call. And Nikki said, my main guy, a cold-blooded killer, this guy was like the worst killer, started going forward. And I grabbed him and I said, what are you doing? You're embarrassing us. What are you doing going forward? He said, Nikki, I can't help it. I need Jesus. And this his right-hand man went forward. And then Nikki Cruz said, before I knew it, I was up at the altar call and I gave my life to Jesus that night. So what is the moral of the story? Anyone can get saved. The Apostle Paul, who was, you know, the worst guy, he got saved. Steve got saved. Nikki Cruz got saved. There are many bad people that have got saved. So there's hope. There's hope for your boss. Amen. There's hope for your cousin, for your family members, even the worst terrorists. There's hope in Jesus. Amen. So the Lord wants us to be bold. You know, people in the world are bold. 10 years ago, they weren't that bold, but they're all out the closet now. They're all out. And you know what? Parents are so tolerant of their kids being enticed, being indoctrinated by the garbage that the liberal world want to put into our kids. Little boys come home, hey, Johnny, how was school today? No, I'm not Johnny anymore. I'm Jasmine. Okay, Jasmine. Then they go and get little Jasmine a dress. Then little Jackie comes home and, no, mommy, I don't identify as Jackie anymore. I'm now Jack. Oh, okay, Jack. That's not going to go in our house. I don't know about your house. And people have become so bold in their beliefs. And when you look statistically, how many people in America or around the world actually believe that it's like a percent of a percent of a percent, you would think everyone is trans. You would think everyone is this, everyone is that. And the world has become so bold in what they believe in, even if what they believe in is so perverse. So how much more should us as believers in Jesus be bold for him? Some people need to come out the closet. Like Rano Bonke used to say, some people are submarine Christians. On a Sunday, they're very bold for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I worship you. You would think, wow, look at that guy. He's the most radical Christian. Soaring at the greatest heights. But what happens Monday morning? The submarine goes under. Goo, 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 goo. Now they're submarine Christians. You will never know they are Christian. They don't say any Christian words. They don't talk the word of God. They hide in. If they were on trial for being a Christian, there would be no evidence to convict them. But guess what happened Sunday morning? Oh, beep, beep. Oh, Pastor Jared's reminding me there's a service today. Oh, that's great, 10 o'clock. I did want to watch the game, but I'll go. And then go, 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 go. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. They're very bold for the Lord. We need to be bold for the Lord all the time. In the morning, in the afternoon. Don't be shy. Amen. Proverbs 28 verses 1. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous means you are in right standing with God. How do you get in right standing with God? You receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you are in right standing with God. Not based on your good works, your winning personality, your generosity. No, you are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. And it says here, the righteous say, that's me. Say, he's talking about me. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm from Africa, and we know in Africa that the lion is the king. The lion roars. Everyone knows the lion's in charge of that territory. And God has placed the territory for you to be a lion in, for you to have a roar. Don't be like a little kitten. Roar like a lion. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Oh, what's going to happen? No, be bold. Be courageous. Get up in your school board meeting and say, hey, with all due respect, that's not going to happen on my shift. You're not going to spew that garbage to our children. We will not tolerate your evil doctrines that you're trying to indoctrinate our kids with. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. What is power? Power is the ability to act or produce an effect. Possession of control, authority, or influence over others. God has given us authority to represent him on earth. You don't go there in your own might, in your own power. You go there in the power of the Holy Spirit. You go there in the authority that God has given you. There can be trucks and so much, you know, the busiest intersection of the biggest city, and now the traffic lights go up. You can get a 4'3" individual and you put a traffic garment on them. It says traffic official. No one's moving. There can be 60 cars. They're not moving because this individual's in the middle of the intersection. Now you try and do that in a busy intersection like you just, you're going to get flattened. Everyone knows that person with the garment has authority from the government. Well, we have authority from our government. And our God, our King, our ruler says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, pray for the sick, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. He's given us dominion. He's given us authority. And when a greater power comes into contact with the lesser power will evaporate. So when you go into any situation with the power of the Holy Spirit on you, guess who's going to win? You're going to win. You're going to win the argument. You're going to win the spiritual battle. You're going to win the case. There's some areas in life where we need to be bold. I don't know if you've noticed my topic today is boldness. And how amazing is it that Steve and Lewis were speaking about boldness? The Lord set this whole thing up. The first person we need to be bold towards is the Lord. And when I say boldness, it's not an arrogance, it's a tremendous respect. It's an honor. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If you, as a high priest in Israel, or just a normal Jewish person, would try to go into the temple with sin in your life, you would be smoked. As you walked in, you disintegrate. You would die. So you know what they actually used to do? Even the high priest, they used to tie a rope around their waist. And it had like cymbals. What do you call it? Bells. And as they were walking, if the bell stopped and they felt, okay, there's no slack, that guy's no longer the high priest or a priest. Because that priest had sin in their life. And that sin went unrepented. But I'm so glad that Jesus took my sins away. And we can enter the Holy of Holies not based on our righteousness or our good works. We can enter the Holy of Holies based on the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 3 verses 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That is the source of your confidence. That is the source of your boldness, knowing who's backing you up. And I know who's backing me up, Jesus. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because he's with me. So you can go into any situation. You can go into a board meeting. You can go into a meeting. You can go into a discussion. You can talk to someone. You can negotiate with someone. You can deliberate with someone. You can share with someone. Even someone like Steve, who would seem unreachable. You better not talk to that guy. He's one of the biggest drug dealers. Him and Pablo. Pablo Escobar. Hallelujah. Don't mess with those guys. You're gonna get whacked. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So even knowing who Steve is, when I was young, we didn't have a Steve, we had a George. George the Duke, that was his name, in my gym. Him and a gang stole millions and millions from a bank and they got caught, and he was the head of the mafia for which cultural mafia it was. But he got caught, and he served like 10 or 15, 20 years in jail. And then the statute of limitation wore off, so he got to keep the money. So he would come to my gym. Everyone stayed. I mean, he was a really tall, ripped guy. But he was he had a reputation of being a nasty guy. I would always say hi, and that's it. And his son was a really nice guy, and I befriended his son and would always be nice to his son. And then his son died in a car accident. And then I went to him, and I gave my condolences, and I shared with him. And there was another guy in my gym, forget his name. It actually might have been George as well, now that I'm thinking of it. He was one of the toughest bouncers in our city. And no one really spoke to him because people didn't. It's not like, hey, how was your weekend? So everyone kind of stayed away from this guy, and I got saved and I was on fire for Jesus. And I'll never forget, in our gym, all the bicycles were in this long line, and I was like on the last one or the second last one. I remember it, and I saw him walking from the restroom coming down, and I saw him, and I knew, I've got to speak to him. And I'd known him for years, but like I said, no one ever speaks to him. And I said, I think it really was George. I said, hey, George, how you doing? And he stopped, and it's like, oh, hi. I said, listen, I got to tell you what happened to me. I've known you for many years, and I just feel I have to share this with you. And I shared my testimony of how Jesus saved me and how Jesus could save him. And he said, you know what? He said, last week, someone was telling me what a bad person I am and how I'm going to go to hell. But I much prefer your pitch. You really gave me a good pitch. I prefer what you had to say. So what did I do? I took that opportunity to share. So I want to encourage you, take opportunities to share. Even if someone seems so unreachable, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know the fear that's in their heart. You don't know if they don't know when they're going to get whacked. Why was he spending 2 days here, 2 days there? Because it's a vicious world. So we need to be bold. Psalm, in the book of Psalm, it says, in that day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. So before you can reach the world, you have to be in relationship with the Lord. You have to be intimate with the Lord, speaking to him, loving him, letting him speak to you, developing your relationship with him. And it says here, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. He cried out to the Lord. All of us have cried out to the Lord. You made me bold with strength in my soul. We need strength in our soul to endure what we're going through and especially what's to come. When you read the Bible, end times isn't going to be a bed of roses. It's going to get hectic. And we need strength in our soul. What is our soul? Our mind, our will, our emotions. So emotionally, you're going to be stretched. Intellectually, you're going to be stretched. So we need that strength. How do we get that strength? We get it from the Lord. Seek first the king and the kingdom and the rest will follow. That's where we need to be spending time or people are going to grow faint and lose heart and even walk away from the Lord. Hebrews 13 verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That needs to be your confidence. The Lord is my helper. He'll help me in my marriage. He'll help me with my kids. He'll help me with my health. He'll help me with my finances. He'll help me with whatever I'm going through. The Lord's going to help me. And all you need to do is say, Lord, help. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that word saved doesn't just mean salvation as far as spiritual. It means in any way, shape, and form. The next thing, we're going to be speaking about boldness for the next few weeks. So I just want to do the second thing, is the Lord wants us to be bold to disciple people. Now, discipleship is intentional. It takes time to disciple someone. And the best people to disciple is either your husband or your wife if you're married, or your the person that you're going out with or courting, and your kids. Start there. Proverbs 22, verses 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, some do depart. Even Billy Graham's son, Franklin, I mean, who would agree, like Billy Graham, what a great guy, what a man of God. Who would have thought his son, Franklin, would turn away from the Lord? So if your son or daughter have turned away from the Lord, there's hope. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep trusting for the prodigals to come home. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And even if your child has gone astray, speak life into them. You know you are a man of God. You know you are called to be a great woman of God. God has his hand on you. You're going to be a blessing to the nations. I see you preaching. I see you counseling people. I see you helping people. I see you doing great things in the church. Mom, stop it, Mom. Mom, Dad, They got more piercings through their eyes, their ears, their nose, they got more tattoos than anyone. They're hanging out with the wrong people, but when they come home, good evening, man of God. Good evening, woman of God. How was your day? I'm praying for you. I'm praying God's perfect will for you. You know He has a mighty calling for your life. You see, we are calling those things that are not as though they are already. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't see things how they look. Faith sees God's perfect will over their life. And when you speak God's will over their life, something has to change. Amen. Proverbs 27 verses 6, we're talking about boldness to disciple, because sometimes, you know, everyone wants to be popular. I want my kids to love me. I want my friends to love me. I don't want to say anything out of turn. But the Bible says in Proverbs 26 verses 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is a wound? A wound is like a cut. It's going to hurt. But do you want the truth? Can you handle the truth? You can't handle the truth. Remember Tom Cruise. You can't handle the truth. Did you order? I did. Okay, I'm not the best actor. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You have to be honest with people. Especially if they've given you the right to speak into their lives. You got to be like honest. Remember Seinfeld? How many loved the movie Seinfeld? Oh, probably my favorite comedy ever, right? Do you remember the Seinfeld, one of my favorite Seinfelds besides the circumcision one? But my favorite, because, and the mole, they wanted to circumcise the baby and Kramer didn't know what a bris is. A bris is when you circumcise a Jewish kid, right? And everyone's at the bris and eating and Kramer, you remember Kramer? Guys, don't act religious like you haven't seen Seinfeld. How many love Kramer? I mean, without Kramer, that show's dead in the water. So Kramer, how many know Kramer? Raise your hand. So Kramer finds out just before the kid's going to get the snip what's happening, and Kramer grabs the kid and starts running around. They don't want this. He doesn't want this little kid to be massacred. I think they ended up naming the kid after Kramer because... or making him the godfather or something. But my favorite part, my other favorite one is with George, and you know poor George. Nothing, that's the third George in my sermon, right? How many remember George? Don't you love George? Don't you feel sorry for George? Nothing ever goes well for George. Jerry is sitting with George and they're having coffee and he's like complaining, my life is terrible, my life is useless, everything goes wrong. So Jerry says, George, why don't you do the opposite? He said, what do you mean? He says, well, everything you ever do is wrong. Every decision you've ever made is wrong. So whatever decision you're going to make, do the exact opposite of what you think is right. He said, okay. Then there's a lady sitting at the coffee table and she looks over in their direction and Jerry says, George, I think she's looking. George, Jerry, look at me. She's not looking at me. She's looking at you. No, I think she's looking at you. So he says, don't forget opposite. So he goes up to the woman and says, hi, my name's George. I'm bald. I live at home with my parents. I haven't got a job. She says, hi, George, sit down. So he did the exact opposite. He told the truth. He didn't feel embarrassed telling the truth. Remember, he went for an interview for the New York Yankees. What was the owner of the New York Yankees? Steinbrenner. So he gets interviewed by the human resource person and, George, let me, okay, maybe. And then Mr. Steinbrenner walks past. Hold on, George, Mr. Steinbrenner. Then the human resource person is talking to Steinbrenner and George comes over. Oh, Mr. Steinbrenner, this is George Costanzas. I'm just, so he looks at Steinbrenner and he says, you have ruined this club. We're the laughing stock. We don't win anymore. You run this organization so badly. Steinbrenner says, I like him, hire him. So sometimes by being fake, don't be fake. Be authentic, amen? Be honest. In a board meeting, everyone sucking up to the boss. Say, with all due respect, sir, before I answer, I just want to say, you have built this company to be the most amazing, incredible company. We honor you. We respect you. Without you, we wouldn't be here today. We've all given up our lives to come and work for you. We believe in this company, sir. But with all due respect, that's the worst decision. That would be detrimental to our company if we go ahead and do this, this, and this. Now, you may be the only one that has the guts to speak the truth. And guess what? If your boss doesn't listen to you and things crash and burn, he's going to know, she's going to know that you're the one honest person in that company. With your friends, when your friends ask you, what do you think I should do? You should be honest. I told you, my one wealthy friend said, what do you think? Like, I'm thinking, is she the one? And I said, with all due respect, she's a gold digger. Don't marry her. So you need to be honest with your friends. Amen. You need to be honest in discipling people. Ezekiel 3:18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn them with, warn the wicked from that wicked day to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. We need to warn people. We need to reach out to people, especially those that you're discipling, especially people close to you. You got to warn them. You have to be honest with them. Oh, Jared, but what if they don't want to be my friend anymore? Then do you want to be their friend or do you want to be honest with them and help them? Philemon 1:8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I like how he says, for love's sake, I appeal to you. That's what discipleship is, being honest with someone, appealing to their spirit, appealing to their senses. Because we're going to have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. Amen. And finally, Acts 28, verses 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Imagine being one of those that came to Paul. Imagine sitting down with Paul for an hour. I mean, you can if you receive Jesus, because you're going to go to heaven and you can spend some time with him. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. I want to be like that Paul, where I would have advice to give someone to steer them in the right direction, where a man of God can come to me, a woman of God can come to Lucinda. What do you think I should do? What's your advice to me? And we give advice. I wish more people took it. Now, I'm glad most of you do. But it's so painful when someone asks advice and you give that advice and they don't listen to that godly advice. And then 2, 3, 4 years later, they're so off. Whether it's off in their faith or off in their destiny. So our job to disciple people is to point people in the direction of Jesus And secondary is to speak to the king and the queen in them. When you see God has a gift and a talent on someone, encourage them. Amen. So we need to be bold. Amen. Father God, thank you so much that we can come boldly to you because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, everything you continue to do for us. You are our ever very present help in time of trouble. Father God, I thank you that everyone here today, those under the sound of my voice, will call upon you for help, will ask you for help regarding every situation they face. And Lord, we even come together as a congregation and ask you to help Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you surround them with a hedge of protection. Not just the Iron Dome, not just the Laser Dome, but thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is encamped around that nation, is encamped around every kibbutz, every city, every individual, every soldier. Thank you, Lord, that divine protection is upon them. And Lord, we even pray for the people of Palestine, that you will protect them from Hamas, that their eyes will be open to see that Hamas is not just there to protect them, but to use them. Thank you, Lord, for resolving this whole situation. Thank you, Lord, that every terrorist will have that opportunity to receive you or to repent and lay down their arms and surrender or to face your judgment, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that there will be peace among the Israelites and the Palestinian people. We thank you that your perfect will be done in that situation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, for every boy and girl and man and woman that is here today or those watching us, that you will give them that confidence, that boldness to approach you, to spend time with you in devotional time while they drive in the car, in the garden, in their rooms, on the beach, in the park, just to spend that time with you. And I thank you, Lord, that you will give us boldness to disciple those that want to be discipled by us, Lord God. Give us an open door into their hearts to speak life to them. Thank you, Lord, that you will show us who we can disciple, who we can add value to, who we can speak life to, who we can encourage to fulfill their destiny, who we can help to fulfill their destiny. And in doing so, we partner with them. We get to share in that blessing. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And maybe there's someone here today or someone watching us and you've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, but you've never invited Jesus into your life. You've never asked him to save you, to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free, but especially to save you from your sins and to come into a relationship with him. He's knocking at the door of your heart, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Son of God, the Messiah, he's knocking at the door of your heart. But the handle is on the inside. Open that door of your heart and invite Jesus in. He died on the cross. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he's alive. And his arms are outstretched, ready to receive you. Don't run from him, run to him. And if that's you, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe in your heart that he died on the cross to take your sins away, you believe in your heart that he was buried and that he rose from the dead and he's alive, and you want to give your life to him, I want you to quickly put up your hand. If you want to receive Jesus for the first time or recommit your life to him, even those listening to us or watching us on social media, let's all pray this prayer of commitment right now. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried and on the third day you rose from the dead and you are alive. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's clap for Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. John, you did such a great job. The guy can preach. He's a hidden treasure. That's not going to be hidden anymore. Kelly, you did such a great job. Let's clap for her. Lewis, he's our evangelist. Steve, very powerful testimony. Lord, we pray for Steve that you will give him many opportunities to share his testimony in outreaches, in prisons, wherever he goes, Lord. Also, Lewis, Lord, may your fire rest upon them. Continue to use them to lead hundreds and thousands and even millions of souls into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.